This podcast is Entel Enhanced. To see pictures, articles, and links of what's being discussed, download the Entel app.
Hi, I'm Anchal, YouTuber, Instagrammer, and a real voice for the brown girls. Join me and some very special guests where we discuss taboo subjects and really give the aunties something to talk about. Thanks to Entel for supporting this podcast. Entel is an interactive podcasting app where you can interact with the things we're talking about. We think it's the best way to listen to our show, so please do check it out. Following on from our previous episode on interracial relationships, we'll be discussing family expectations, caste systems, being disowned, and so much more. I'm talking to Mish, who's actually one of my followers that I reached out to for this episode. I'd seen she'd commented and DM'd in the past about her own experience within interracial relationships, and I just felt it was perfect to get a real story on here. Brace yourself, as it does get emotional. Hey, Mish.
Hey.
I'm so happy to have you here. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. No, I'm actually so glad that you reached out to me. And I think you've messaged me a few times. And yeah, your story is just so kind of interesting and inspiring. And I think you're going to do a much better job of explaining it to everyone. So can you just like give us all, myself and everyone, a short summary of your love story?
Okay, so my husband is of Caribbean descent. His parents are from two different Caribbean islands. We actually first met when we were children. We went to the same tuition on Sundays when we were like 8, 9 years old, and we were buddies back then. And then we went to secondary school. We lost all contact, and then bang, 10 years later, we were at the same university just by pure coincidence. You know, there's so many different unis in the country, and we've ended up in the same one. At the time, I was seeing someone and he was seeing someone, so we kind of just kept it friendly, but like nothing more. Fast forward a couple more years, we're both out of our respective relationships, and then we just start chilling together. And then that leads to, you know, feelings and blah, blah, blah. And then that developed into a relationship. And for me, the only reason that I kind of said I will stay with him was because I knew that at least one of my parents was going to be okay.
Right. Okay.
If I knew that both parents wouldn't, then I would have turned around and been like, nah, just because there's so much ag with it, really and truly. So then I stayed with him, and then when we were ready to like kind of like move things forward, I then decided to tell my dad. Then shit literally hit the fan. Loads of stuff happened. That's where all the drama happened. And then we got married. Then it was all fine. We got married, got a house. Now we've got a little boy as well.
Oh, do you know what? I'm so glad it's worked out. And that now you are hopefully happy. But out of your parents, which one was it that was not going to agree?
My mum.
Your mum, okay.
Yeah.
And did they ever make it clear to you from an early age that, you know, who you can and can't marry in terms of race? And what are your earliest memories? Do you have an age that you can remember where they've ever spoken to you about that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think maybe the teenage years when, you know, you start talking to boys and, you know, the perspective of having a boyfriend actually becomes a reality and stuff. And, you know, not that I told them about anyone that I was seeing when I was a teenager, because, I mean, what teenage girl does, right?
Right.
But, yeah, I think definitely in my teenage years when I was talking to boys and my mum knew about it, not so much my dad, just because, you know, me and my mum have a much closer relationship when I was that age. But,
yeah.
But yeah, my mum definitely when I was in my teenage years, so maybe like 14, 15 years old. And that's when she said, as long as he's Punjabi, that was it. He's got like, it doesn't matter about caste, because the thing is, my mum's Sikh, but my dad's actually Hindu, but he's Hindu Punjabi.
Right.
So she was like, Punjabi. Doesn't matter about caste or religion, just Punjabi.
Yeah, that's another thing though, like, because I'm Punjabi as well. And there's that whole caste system thing where some Punjabis can't marry other Punjabis because of caste. And then on top of that, you can't marry other people outside of your race, which is just another whole heap of madness as well.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, I can completely appreciate where they're coming from because, I mean, my mum wasn't born here. She was born in India and, you know, she was raised by an Indian family, you know, not British Indian. They were like Indian, like very traditional. Yeah. So, you know, I do completely get that. But at the same time, I think, you know, they have to kind of come to the realization that their children that they've raised, that are born and bred in the UK are going to have, you know, interracial friendships, relationships, like it's going to happen. It might not be happening as much as, you know, it could possibly be happening in the next 10 years or so, but it's going to happen some, you know, one day or another. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, this is the thing. Like you've moved to this country. You cannot help who your children are now friends with, at least. Do you know what I mean? And sometimes when you're friends with someone, you just end up developing feelings like yourself and you haven't planned it. But in terms of like your mum or both your parents, were they kind of clear as well that it couldn't be anyone outside of being Punjabi? So it doesn't matter if they're white, black, like literally no one but Punjabi. Was that kind of how it was
with my mum? Yeah, she literally said that. She goes, look, you know, I'm not telling you because my mum's Dirkhan, like that's her caste. She's like, I'm not, yeah, you know, not asking you to marry Dirkhan, I'm not asking you to marry a Bagwala, I'm not asking you to marry, you know, certain, like some people have quite, you know, some parents give quite a strict list. She's like, look, yes, I'm not asking for any of that, just as long as he's Punjabi and that's it, you know, that you said that you speak the same language at home. That's what needs to happen, basically. Then as I grew older, I kind of poked and prodded and I was like, but what if he's Gujarati?
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, he's still Indian at the end of the day. What if he's Gujarati? And then she came around to that. She was like, okay, fine, Indian.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that, so it kind of developed over time, but that had nothing to do with, you know, my husband. That was just me when I was a bit younger, you know, kind of poking and prodding to see what would have been allowed, if you know what I mean.
Oh my god, everything you've said so far is so interesting because I feel like I do the exact same thing and I've done the same thing. I mean, I've been having the same conversations where I'm like, okay, what if they're this and what if they're that, you know, if they're brown, like any sort of brown, is that allowed, you know? You and you're just kind of pushing your boundaries to see how far you can go because it's really actually quite difficult to just stay within one thing when we are open to so many different types of people.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. My my ex was Asian, but he wasn't Indian. He was actually Mauritian.
Okay. And that's really different as well.
It's different but the same. So like he would still go to the mandir and stuff and he had some similar like celebrations and stuff. So like they still did Diwali and stuff. But he wasn't Sikh and he wasn't Indian, but he was still, you know, Hindu Mauritian. So I said to mum, you know, what about that? And she was like, at first she was like, maybe not so sure. And then when she found out about him, because me, she found out about him eventually, she was like, yeah, no, it's fine. Because she knew that there was someone there and, you know, he was still brown.
You know, I've kind of come across this myself as well, where I've been like, what about Mauritian? But sometimes they think that because they are darker skin color, some Indians perceive them as still black. I feel like that's always that one's a really tricky one as well. So it's really hard because you're not only just fighting for someone being like their religion, but then they're looking at their skin color saying, well, actually, well, that doesn't count either because their darker skin, so are they really Indian? You know, it gets really confusing.
Yeah, I think it's also quite contradictory as well because it's like one minute you're saying he's fine because, you know, he's Asian, he's Hindu, but he's just not Indian. But then at the other side, it's like, well, you know, you said that, you know, you said one minute it's fine and the next minute you're not. But to be fair, my mum was quite, actually my dad, because my dad found out eventually as well. They were both fine with him. Obviously it didn't work out and I'm glad it didn't because got my husband who's amazing. But yeah, no, I mean, it's just one of those things, isn't it? Like, I mean, I grew up in East London and although there's a massive Asian community there, you know, Indian community, you've got so many types of Asians as well. And then you've got the different types of different minorities as well. Like my husband, he's from around the corner where I grew up. So, you know, not only is there a massive Indian community there, you've got the massive Pakistani community, you've got the massive Bangladeshi community as well, and you've got the black community as well. So I think it's quite unrealistic for your parents to, you know, I know loads of people are going to disagree with me and they're going to say, oh, well, I found someone. And, you know, that's all cool. And, you know, I'm happy for you. Yeah, I'm not dismissing that. That's brilliant. You know, if you're happy, then that's fantastic. But for me, I just ended up falling for who I fell for. I think for my mum, it was really difficult for my mum to process it, just because I've got three siblings, and out of all four of us siblings, I'm kind of the most desi. So she just, it completely just kind of, you know, it just blew her out of the water. She had no idea that this was going to happen. I mean, I didn't know it was going to happen. I am the most desi out of my siblings. Well, I think I am anyways. They might disagree. But, but you know, I didn't see it happening. He just ended up being a friend, you know.
Yeah.
You know, someone that I would chill with on a regular basis at uni. And then it just developed into something else.
Yeah.
I didn't plan it.
Yeah, no, of course. And I think you don't plan these things. You don't think to yourself, oh, I'm definitely going to, you know, make sure I marry someone out of my race, or I want to piss my parents off, or any of that kind of stuff. You just end up falling for who you fall for. And the beauty is that you don't see their skin color as something that you need to think about. Do you know what I mean?
You know, it's really funny because I often forget that he's black. I know that sounds weird, but...
No, I get that.
I actually completely forget, and I'm like, oh yeah, we're not the same race, we're not the same religion.
Yeah.
But I genuinely forget, because, I mean, he's my best friend. He's my husband. Do you know what I mean? Like, I completely forget. And then every now and again, I'll be like, oh yeah. Oh yeah, you're from the West Indies and I'm from India. Like we're completely different, but also at the same time we're really similar. Like we've been living together now since 2014, and the amount of things that we've realised that the Caribbean people, like Caribbeans and Indians, having all Asians have in common is unreal. There's so many similarities; it is ridiculous. Even to the spices that we use. In our cooking, it's insane how similar we actually are.
It's so true. Well, this is the thing that baffles me, right? Because even with African culture, there are so many similarities with African culture and Indian culture, just in terms of, you know, how they raise their children, you know, family values, even in terms of cooking. And like you said, spices, something as small as that. There are so many similarities. So why is there such a huge, like, gap between us? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think it comes down to culture and tradition. I mean, we've been raised, but I say we, I mean, myself, you know, we've been raised by, you know, parents who are still quite traditional and are still quite cultural. And, I mean, my dad was born and bred in Slough. So, you know, he's not even... He's Indian, but he's British, like through
he's
and
British
through.
Indian.
Yeah, he's British Indian through and through. So you know, so he's kind of, I think that's why he was kind of more open to the possibility that his kids might not marry Indian.
Okay,
so that's why I think he was kind of more chilled. I mean, I could be wrong. That's just my speculation on it, if I'm quite honest. But yeah, so because he was born and bred here, he's probably, you know, he's had more contact with like other people, and his parents have probably brought him up with a different mindset to how my mum's parents would have brought her up.
Right.
Because my mum was born in India. She came over when she was three. So like when you speak to her, she's got no accent or anything. Like she sounds exactly like me. Like you wouldn't know she wasn't born here. But I think her parents are just that much more traditional. So when it comes to mixing with other cultures and stuff, like mum's been fine with it, but she's always kind of had an eye on certain people, if you know what I mean. Not in a horrible way, like, and that sounds terrible of her, but or like how I've explained it, but I think she was always happier when I was hanging around with like
Indians,
with Indians or Asians, full stop, to be fair.
Do you know what? I completely can relate to you on so many levels. First of all, I'm one of four children as well. So I've got three siblings, but with the whole parent situation, mine's the opposite. So my mum is way more understanding and way more open. And then my dad is, I would say, more similar to your mum.
Yeah.
So where he's more Indian, and where you're saying feels more comfortable if I was hanging around with Indian or anyone from an Asian community, he would feel more comfortable. So I completely get that. So yeah, it sounds weird. And where you said, you know, they're keeping their kind of eye open, I get it. It doesn't make her sound bad or anything, because I feel exactly the same. Like when I was younger, all my friends in school were predominantly black girls, and my dad, not that he had an issue with black, my black friends, but he would tell me openly, like, be friends with Indian girls, you know, where are your Indian friends? I'm like, I just don't have any and I don't fit in with them. I just want to go back to your relationship. You know, when you were like starting to develop feelings for your now husband, did you kind of ever make it clear to him at the beginning stages of what difficulties you might come across?
It's funny you say that, because when we like started seeing each other, I used to joke around with him. Well, actually, I wasn't even joking. To an extent, I was being serious, and I would say to him, well, we're not getting married, you're only for uni, because I've got to marry an Indian. And I would openly say that to him, because I mean, neither of us wanted to be in a committed relationship, but at the same time, we were really enjoying each other's company.
Right.
Not to say that we were like, We weren't seeing anyone else, but at the same time, we didn't put that stamp on it. We didn't put the label on it.
Yeah, and I think you're a bit scared too, almost, because you've also got such a beautiful friendship that you might be scared to ruin that as well.
Definitely, 100%. Yeah, we grew so tight within weeks, because I mean, although we knew each other when we were children, when we was at tuition together, obviously that's a different relationship that you're having as 8-9 year olds to when you're 20. So you know, we became really close. We would see each other at least like 3 times a week, because we both went to uni away out of London.
So
we see each other loads, and I think part of it was, definitely I didn't want to, you know, kind of risk ruining the friendship or anything, but then at the same time I didn't want to risk putting that label on it and then thinking, shit, I can't now move this forward because you're not Indian.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's that fear of it actually getting to that point where, hold on, we've put a label on this and now this is something serious, and once it's become a thing between the two of you and it is serious, now what's next, you know, because everybody else is going to have to know that it's a thing as well. So it's scary. So when it did start to develop and, you know, you felt like, okay, I'm going to have to tell family, or, you know, other outside people are going to have to find out or know or whatever, how did you address these conversations with him? Do you ever tell him that, like, this could completely go wrong and we might not be able to be together or anything like that?
I didn't have to have those conversations with him, because he's grown up in a predominantly Asian area. Like, all the kids that he went to school with were all Asian. So he knows the drill anyways.
Yeah.
So he kind of expected it, and was like, we'll just overcome it as and when. So like, when we did become boyfriend and girlfriend, he was like, oh, are you going to tell your parents? I was like, No.
Listen, brown girls don't tell their parents, even if they're dating a brown guy. Okay. Like, we just don't tell them.
Otherwise it's, oh, when you're getting married.
Yeah, exactly.
Not dealing with that. Not happening. But so he already knew about that. So that made my life way easier, because he already had that understanding. But then it got to a point when it was like, right, you need to tell your parents, because we've now been together for, I think it was 3 years.
Wow.
And I kept that shtum. And he was like, you need to tell someone now, because it's getting ridiculous. Like, how old were we? I think we were like 23 years old, 23, maybe 24. And he was like, look, you know, we're done at uni. We'd both graduated. We'd moved back home, both living in East London again. And he was like, this is getting ridiculous. Like, we're grown ass adults and you haven't told your parents that you're seeing someone, that you've been with someone for 3 years. Like, it's getting a bit stupid. So he was getting a bit pissed off. So I then told my dad.
Okay.
I don't know what happened, but one day I literally just had this feeling, just tell him. Because we were actually, me and my dad, because I used to work with my dad in the family business.
Right.
And we were actually away for business. So we was only away for like 2 days. And I don't know what happened, but I literally woke up with this gut feeling saying, tell Papa. Yeah. Tell Papa. Tell Papa. So I was like, what? So then I was like, no. Sleep on it and see how you feel in the morning. Went to sleep. Same next morning, the first thing, I kid you not, the first thing that I thought of was, tell Papa. I was like, oh shit, I've got to tell him now.
So that gut feeling didn't go away.
It didn't go. And it was the last thing I thought about and the first thing I thought about when I opened my eyes.
Right.
So I told my dad and I burst into tears and I was like, Papa, I need to tell you something. He was like, what? And by this time I was already crying. He was like, what's the matter? He goes, I go, Papa, I'm seeing someone and it's really serious, but he's not Indian. And he goes, so why are you crying? And he just looked at me really confused. He goes, so why are you crying? He's like, why are you crying? He goes, I don't care if they're purple, blue, yellow, green. As long as he's good to you and he makes you happy, then it's fine. Like, what's the problem? And he was really confused. And I was like, okay, that's weird. That didn't go how I expected it to go. I thought he would be a little bit pissed, but he wasn't. And he was more concerned and confused as to why I was crying.
Yeah.
So then I told him, and then we came back home and he was like, right, we're not going to tell your mum yet.
Wow.
But I want to meet him.
Oh my God, your dad is, yeah, I love him already.
So he was like, you've got, because basically, like literally about 2 weeks after that, it was actually my mum's surprise birthday party. So he was like, we're not going to stress the family out right now, right, because it will bring that element of stress and hurt and upset and blah, blah, blah. So he was like, we're not going to say anything yet, but we will. And when we do, we'll do it in a certain way. So he was like, when am I meeting him? And literally the week that we came back, I think within a week, he was sat on my sofa talking to my dad. And that's how he then met my dad for the first time.
Oh wow.
And he didn't even know that I was going to tell him, by the way. I literally came back from this trip and I said, oh, by the way, I told my dad. And he was like,
how did that go down?
He was actually really happy and he was really happy because he was, you know, he was getting, like I said, he was getting pissed and he was like, you know, we're grown ass adults and your parents don't even know that you've been with someone for 3 years.
He was your boyfriend at the time. Did his parents know about you?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'd met them loads of times.
Yeah, see, this is the thing, right? And I think this isn't any relationship, whether it's interracial or not. I always find that the girl ends up meeting the boy's family first and, like, you're just well in there. And then as a girl, your family, like, your parents have no clue.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
It's just so weird. But once you eventually did tell your mum, first of all, that's so lovely that you had the backing of your dad. And what about your siblings? Did they know?
They knew. So I've got an older sister, a younger sister, and a younger brother. And my younger sister, although she's like 10 years younger than me, we're like best friends. We're inseparable. Like, I tell her everything. So she knew. She was the first one to find out. And then I think I told my older sister only a few months before I told my dad.
Okay.
Because I think it then makes it a bit more real, doesn't it? The more people that know, it just makes it that much more real.
It does. What was their reactions like? Were they supportive or?
Well, they didn't care in the nicest way. They didn't care in the nicest way. My older sister, she actually, 100%. My older sister already knew him because she went to the same uni. So she'd already met him. So she was in her third year when me and my husband were in our first year. So she had met him already and she knew who he was. And she was like, oh, yeah, I remember him. Okay, cool. And that was about it. And then my younger sister, if I'm honest, it was so long ago, I can't remember what her reaction was. But
I'm sure it wasn't anything bad.
I don't think it was. I honestly don't think it was. I think it was a bit of a shock, but nothing like oh my God, oh my God, like, what are you doing?
Did any of your siblings ever feel or ever worry that, like, oh my God, what is mum going to say? Because obviously where your mum is, this is a bigger issue for your mum, and everybody knew that. Did anybody bring that up to you to be like, oh my God, how are we going to tell mum, or how's this going to go down with everyone?
Yeah, of course. They all shat themselves. Yeah. They were like, oh my God, how are you going to tell mum? What are you going to tell mum? But at the same time, they knew that it wasn't their fight. So okay. They were kind of like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. But at the same time, yeah. I think because it wasn't their fight and it was my fight, they weren't like as worried as they could have been, if that makes sense.
Were you scared at any point that you could be disowned from your mum or your family? Was that ever a worry for you?
Oh yeah. I knew that that was a strong possibility of happening.
And I'm going to ask, I take it she didn't disown you?
Oh, she did.
She did?
Oh, she did, yeah.
My God, okay.
She did, she did.
So when you said shit hit the fan, is this the shit hitting the fan?
That was the shit hitting the fan and circulating in the fan.
Oh, yeah. My God. So, yeah, can you tell us more about that? What happened?
Yeah, so basically, Dad said, right, this is when you're going to tell her, and This is when you got to tell her. So I was like, okay, fine.
Right.
So I knew when it was happening. Papa knew when it was happening. My siblings knew when it was happening, and so did my then boyfriend.
Okay.
And I said to him as a joke. I said, empty out one of your cupboards because I'm going to be moving in with you soon. And I kept saying it as a joke.
Yeah.
Oh no, that actually happened. Oh, so, so what happened was I told my mum. And she didn't talk to me for about 5 days in the house. And obviously that caused an atmosphere and stuff.
So awkward.
So awkward. And then one day she sat, so my younger siblings, because they were still in like school and stuff. So they were at school. My older sister was at home. I was at home because, you know, I was helping with the family business at the time. So that meant that the two older children and the parents were at home. So mum sat us all down and said, right, you know what's going on. So she basically gave me an ultimatum. And she was like, it's me or it's him. And I said,
oh my God.
And I said, well, it's him.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't even know what the word is. It was a horrible moment. It was horrible. Mm. Like everyone was crying and, you know, it wasn't nice. But now fast forward, what, nearly 6 years, my mum jokes about it. She laughs about it. So just to like give you some assurance there, like everything's cool now. Everything's like well, Christy, like everything's perfect now. But at that time, at that moment of our lives, because it wasn't just me who it affected, it wasn't a nice time.
It just shakes your whole family. Basically.
Yeah, it did.
And did you have like your siblings or your dad kind of backing you, being like, no, mum, like you can't do that.
So were you kind of
fighting that corner by yourself?
To a degree, I was fighting that corner by myself, but I can't blame anyone for that because it was my own actions. Like I'm not expecting. Yeah, it was my choice and I had to deal with the consequences. So I took all of that on the chin. I was like, it's on me. It's not my dad's fault. It's not my sister's fault. You know, I'm not going to blame anyone for not backing me. My dad did back me to a degree, but at the same time, it's really difficult, you know, supporting your wife versus supporting your child. So yeah, that same day, I packed my stuff in like suitcases and bags and whatnot. And I'd already spoken to my then boyfriend's mum on the phone and she was like, come over, we'll take you. So that day I moved into my boyfriend's family home.
Oh my God, you're actually breaking my heart. Like I could cry right now.
No, don't cry, it gets better, don't worry. Like, yeah, it's all fine, like, it's all good, don't worry.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm so glad that you told me now beforehand that things are better. Otherwise I would actually be in tears because the only thing that's stopping it is knowing that it's okay for you right now. So I'm like, oh, thank God. But it's literally, it's heartbreaking because even that that kind of thought or feeling to even think that there's a possibility to get disowned and then to get disowned. It's like, in that moment, do you feel like your mum even loves you or cares about you? How do you feel? Like, what were you experiencing?
To answer your question, yeah, I did feel, does she love me? Does she care? Does she have any feelings towards me? But then, and it was really difficult. Like, that happened in December. That happened just before Christmas. And although, you know, I'm not Christian, no. We still celebrate Christmas. We do presents and everything. And we love that time of year. And to, you know, to not be with, you know, my family at Christmas, it sucked. It was awful. That was easily the worst Christmas of my life. It was horrible. But I mean, you get up, you dust yourself, and you get on with it. And that's what happened. So that happened in December 2014. But then fast forward a good few months, obviously with moving out of the family home, I then lost my job in the family business. So I was jobless. Right. I didn't have, you know, my home. And then, just to make things better as well, I ended up getting my phone nicked as well. So the communication that I did have, so the communication that I did have with my siblings, because obviously I still spoke to my siblings and my dad, the communication that I did have with them then got cut off because I didn't have a phone. It's just all a bit rubbish at that time of year, but it was fine. It was fine because come February, I then got a new job. Then come July, we started searching for a flat for ourselves.
Yeah.
And then we completed that flat, the purchase of that flat, in November. But then just before we moved in, he proposed to me. So within 11 months of moving out, I don't like saying kicked out, although it was kicked out. I don't like saying that. So after, you know, so 11 months within moving out of my parents' home, I got a new job, I got a flat, and I got engaged. So,
oh my God, congratulations. And now you're married and you have a lovely baby boy.
Yeah. So, and, you know, we got married in, so he proposed in 2015, but the end of 2015, October. He actually, funny fact, he actually proposed on Karvachot because I've always fasted since I was like a kid. And then since I've been with him on Karvachot, he always takes me for dinner. So that's how he disguised it. So there was me starving all day at work, and then we go to this amazing meal. Hangry was not the word. get to this restaurant, and then at the end of after the meal, he pops the question. I was like, what? Insane.
And you probably felt guilty for being like a moody bitch earlier, being rude or something.
It was insane because he'd arranged, the proposal that he'd arranged was so lovely, but because I was just enjoying eating this 7-course taster menu thing, half of the proposal got ruined. But I mean, it still happened. It's cool. Got the ring. All good.
Can I eat first? Because I am really hungry.
Honestly. So then we got engaged October 2015. And then because it's like the end of the year, it was too soon to get married the following summer. So then we got married the following summer. So we ended up getting married September 2017. So then during that period between me getting engaged and coming up to the wedding, like, things are still not, I wouldn't say difficult, but they still weren't the same with my mum.
What was the turning point?
So I forgot to tell you. So she started actually speaking to me. So that happened in December. I moved out in December, and then it was April that she started speaking to me again. So she completely stopped talking to me. And it was April that she started speaking to me again. So to go through 5 months without talking to your mum, it's a long time. But in the grand scheme of things, 5 months is really not a long time at all. Like, it's really not.
There are some people that have stories that their mum or their dad doesn't speak to them for years and years, or sometimes ever. So you got lucky in some sense.
Even
in this messed up situation, it's still lucky.
Big time. I couldn't agree with you more. And so 5 months later, she started speaking to me, but it wasn't the same. Like, it was going to take time, and that's fine, because at the end of the day, you know, she's talking to me, and, you know, baby steps, and that's fine. You know, I can't expect anything more. I'm not going to be like, oh, let's have him over for dinner and let's go and meet his mom and blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to expect that. So it was fine. It was difficult, but it was fine. Like,
what made her decide to talk to you again? Like, what happened? What was it that happened that you guys kind of got speaking again?
She said that she just missed me. She said, she goes, I'd rather have you in my life than have you not in my life. So I need you back in my life, basically. And then she did, at the start, she did say, look, I'm not ready to meet him yet. I'm not ready to meet his family yet, but it will happen, but just not yet. And I was like, that's fine. That's,
you know what, that is actually really fair. And that's all you expect from your parent. You just need a bit of communication to know where they're at. And yeah, it just makes things so much easier for you. And it's probably best that way, because you guys needed to build your relationship again before, you know, getting her involved in your actual relationship.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And what was it like with extended family members? So, you know, because I know with a situation like this, people love to talk. People love to talk. So what was it like for you?
It was pretty chill, if I'm honest.
Really? Wow, okay.
Honestly, there was a few people, and there are a few people that haven't approved, and they've stopped talking to me. But because but at the same time, my mum's backed me with that as well. So like, if she sees or knows that someone's treated me or, you know, my kid differently, you know, then she is like, right, don't worry about it, I've got your back. So she's like proper calm. But like, at the time I think because like mum, I don't want to say she is traditional, but she's not at the same time. Like, she's considered the modern cool mussy. I don't know how, but she is. Because she wasn't talking to me, the rest of her family, so like her siblings and her siblings' kids, like my cousins and my mussies and all that, they then followed suit and they stopped talking to me as well.
Yeah, because so they feel like they have to do it out of respect for her.
Exactly, which is fine. Like, I completely got that. Like, it was at the beginning, I was frustrated, I'm not going to lie, but then I saw it and I understood it because I had calmed down and I'd seen, you know, I was thinking clearly as opposed to thinking emotionally.
So at first, it
was fine. I mean, it was what it was, and I just had to kind of deal with it. I missed them so much. Like, you know, I'm really close with my cousins and I miss them, but it was fine. Then when mum started speaking to me again, I then started speaking to all my family again. So, and then I remember the first time that I rocked up to a family function and everyone was kind of surprised to see me, but also everyone was smiling. Like, it felt good to be back with them.
That's nice. Did you feel like in that time, though, that you maybe lost a little bit of trust for them because they'd cut you out, obviously, because of out of respect for your mum? But at the same time, you know, like your cousins and stuff, did you feel like, well, at least they could talk to me? Because, I don't know, did you feel like it was hard to trust them again?
I did wonder, but then at the same time, I've got to remember that they've had, like, where my dad is British born, we've been brought up a bit more westernized, but my cousins have all got like Indian parents,
right?
So where we've kind of been, if you want, like, a bit, yeah, we're a bit more westernized, I think, than some of my other cousins are. So I had to kind of take that on the chin as well and be like, look, it's not their fault, that's just how they've been raised and stuff. And even my mum explained that to me as well. Like, she was like, they're gonna follow what I do because that's just how we are. And I was like, okay, fine.
I hear that a lot from my dad's side, and I personally don't agree with it, but that's just how it is. When I mean, they show support and respect, shall we say, but sometimes, even when in a bad situation, like, they'll support a situation when it's bad.
Yeah.
Just for the sake of supporting the person, even though it's not a good one. What advice would you give to anyone that may be in your position or is scared to go down the path that you've taken? Because honestly, I get so many messages, DMs, literally all day, every day about girls, Indian girls, saying that I'm dating a black guy or I'm dating a Muslim guy, I'm dating, you know, someone of a different caste that's Indian. I'm scared of being disowned. I'm scared, you know, what do I do? What advice would you give to any of those girls?
I'm going to give the same advice that one of my cousins actually gave. So one of my cousins who knew about my then boyfriend.
Yeah.
And there's a guy cousin as well, funnily enough, not a girl cousin.
Okay.
He said to me, the family are not going to accept it. So if you're happy, or not happy, but if you're okay to let the family go, then go be with him.
Yeah.
But if you need your family in your life, then leave him.
See, this is so hard.
It is hard. It is hella hard. But the thing is, I also knew, and I know this might sound kind of smug, but I also knew that one day my mum would forgive me.
Mm.
And I don't know if forgive is the right word, but she'll get it. One day she'll get it. That's what I mean to say. Not forgive. Forgive is the wrong word. I'll take that back.
Yeah.
But one day she'll get it. And she'll be back on my team and she'll be back in my corner and everything will be fine.
Yeah.
So because I also knew that, I kind of was just like, I took a big chance. I took a massive risk because it is a risk.
It is a risk.
It's a huge risk. So I was like, right, if I say no to my boyfriend now, he's gone forever and that's that. But if I say no to my mum will come back to me because that's my mum.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. And it was a lot quicker than I thought it was going to be as well.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, I feel like it is a lot quicker for mums because, you know, mums, they give birth to you. It's a different connection. And although your dad is more understanding and although, you know, you could go to him about this first, there are some people like myself that are, like, my mum would get it and my dad just wouldn't. Oh, my God, I'm going to cry. Sorry.
Oh,
yeah. My mum would get it and my dad just wouldn't. And it's that fear of being disowned and not being able to come back at all. So the people that don't have that opportunity to get their family back again, that is what is scary. Sorry, I am crying. I'm such a mess. I feel like your story's just like touched a huge nerve for me because I honestly, I have so much respect for your journey and what you've done and for sticking to your guns. And I'm so happy that it's kind of turned all the way around for you.
Thank you.
I also see it from another perspective, my own, first of all. And second of all, you know, people that message me where I actually had someone message me yesterday saying, you know, that her dad like beat her and all of that kind of stuff because she wanted to be with someone outside of her outside of her race, and you know, she was Asian as well. And I just think, what do we do about that? Like,
okay, that's violence, and that's not on.
No, violence is not on. But what about you know, parents just like completely like that is it? You've lost them forever.
Well, if it's all right, I want to tell you about one of my friends.
Yeah,
and
please.
She has got balls. Like,
let's hear about her balls. I need to hear this.
She's sick. Yeah. So I've known this girl since I was about 17 years old, and she is Hindu Gujarati, and she is engaged to a Muslim.
Okay.
And her mum is calm. Yeah, just because it's typically it's the mum who's calm and the dad who has the problem. It was obviously It was obviously the other way around for me. Yeah. But so she is now engaged to him. She's been with him for I don't even know how many years, but a very long time. I've met him loads of times. Lovely guy. Got him on my Insta. Really, really nice guy. And when she told her mum, like, I think her mum might have known or something, or had an inkling or something, just because mums know kind of thing, right?
Yeah, mums always know.
Mums know. Mums just know. So, but her dad had a problem. And I'm not going to dive too deep into it because it's not my story, it's her story.
Yeah.
But she was, I think he tried to like kick her out or try to say, you're not welcome in this house. And you know what she said? No, this is my house, I'm staying. And she just sat down and she was like, this is my house. This is my house. And this is my life. And this is who I want to be with. And that was years ago. I mean, I know that their relationship still isn't great, but I mean, they still live in the same roof.
Wow. Yeah. Good for her. Is she honestly still with her boyfriend or partner?
Yeah, yeah. So they're engaged now. Wow. And they got engaged earlier this year. And was it earlier this year or was it even last year? I can't remember when they got engaged. But they've only got engaged recently and they were actually supposed to be planning their wedding. But obviously COVID's hit and they've had to put that all on hold now, which sucks majorly. But yeah. My mum told me to go. I went. Her dad told her to go. She was like, no, I'm not going anywhere. What do you think this is?
Wow. Yeah. Do you know what? I think that just teaches you. You just have to, whatever it is, like if you feel like this person is the right person for you, you just need to stick with it. Like whether you're leaving your house or staying put, you just have to stick to your guns and
you do.
Hopefully it will come back around. So her and her dad, like obviously they live together, but they talk?
I think it's like a little bit.
It's just civil.
Yeah, just civil.
It's better than nothing.
But exactly. I mean, she's still living there. I wasn't living at home. Yeah. My mum told me to leave. Yeah, she still has her bedroom.
Yeah, like, wow.
I went to live with my boyfriend and his family in my boyfriend's bedroom, and it was a boy's bedroom, and it had blue everywhere, and it smelled of boy. She's still in her room. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's chilling. She's obviously had her struggles and stuff, and because we're both in similar situations, you know, she has spoken to me about it and confided in me and stuff, and you know, I give her more ratings than I give myself. You know?
Well, no, I give both of you ratings because it takes balls for both of you to stick with it and just take that risk.
Yeah.
And you know, you just have to follow your gut.
I think you have to have a really strong mindset and be ready to deal with the consequences, because I joked with him saying, I'll get empty out one of your cupboards, I'm moving in. I joked with him. That ended up being a reality, and I ended up having to move in with him. But I think
he spoke it into existence.
Yeah, literally. But I think the minute that you decide, right, this is what I want to do, you just have to kind of take it as it is, you know. And also, it's really, really helpful as well if your boyfriend as well has a massively understanding family. Like on their side, on the flip side, you know, I mean, his mum was amazing. Like, I mean, she still is. I get along really well with her. But, you know, she was incredible. And she had to kind of say to, you know, to him, it's not personal. It's nothing to do with you as a person. It's the fact that you're just not Indian. And that's what his mum explained to him, because, you know, he had a bit of a struggle as well. You know, he kind of, you know, in his mind, it was, what's wrong with me?
Exactly. And also when it's about race, it's like, well, that's not my fault. Like, this is just my skin color.
Exactly.
And why can I not? That's just awful. Your story's been so inspiring. And I'm actually so pleased that you shared your friend's story as well, because it's just...
Oh, I had to. She gets mad rings. You know, I haven't actually spoken to her in a while, so I might just give her a call after this. But
give her a call. Tell her.
She gets mad ratings. She's always been ballsy though. Like, she doesn't take nothing from anyone.
That is a whole another level of balls, in my opinion. But thank you so much, Mish. Like, it's been you made me cry.
Oh, sorry, I feel real bad.
No, don't feel bad. I feel like this topic is really, really like personal and close to my heart, and it's just something that I don't ever really get to speak about. Oh my god, I want to cry again, so let me just stop myself. So yeah, it's just so lovely to speak about it to someone that's gone through it and has come out the other side. And yeah, that's just really, really lovely. So I'm so pleased that you were able to share that with me and everybody.
That's okay. So, just want to put out there as well that my mum now loves my husband. Like, the amount of, like, she takes the piss out of him all the time. Like, she cusses him all the time. Like, she has bants, right?
She's got a relationship with him, like, her own relationship.
Yeah, and, like, my son's obviously half black. And she loves the hell out of him. Like, she's obsessed with him. She's, you know, like, for her, you know, she's gone literally a whole 360. Like, she's done it. Like, she's got over it and she's happy and she's fine and she's cool and everything. And she loves my son. She loves him like a normal grandparent would love their grandson.
She's so lovely.
She's obsessed. And, you know, everything's all cush now, man. Everything's back to normal.
I'm so pleased to hear that. Like, I'm honestly so pleased to hear that. And I just hope that anybody listening to your story feels like they could do it too. And even, you know, you might not have the same outcome as Mish, but, you know, things always work out differently. But you just, like you said, you just have to be prepared for what's to come.
You need to have a strong mind. Yeah. And as long as you know that person is the right person, then it will be fine. That is it.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much.
That's okay.
Thank you. I'm so pleased that you were able to join me today. And yeah, that's it. Oh, guys, I'm so sorry for sounding like a fumbly mess, but sometimes you just have to let the emotions run and get it out. This podcast feels like such a safe space for me and also somewhere I can just be myself and really transparent. I just want to say a huge thank you to Mish once again for coming on here and sharing her story to help anyone out there that may be going through something similar. And can you believe she's never done anything like this before and she sounded like an absolute pro. So props to her. There's always a silver lining, even if you think there isn't going to be. I'd love to know if any of you have shared any similar experiences. Let me know on the What Would the Auntie Say Instagram page. Please make sure you subscribe to my podcast, rate and review. It would really mean the world to me. And for links to anything I'm talking about, download the Entel app. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll catch you guys on the next one.